17. Ronan thought, this is what I was made for, probably. The three dreamers sat shoulder to shoulder, looking down at the Pennsylvanian landscape below, the wind buffeting them hard. Mountain ridges and valleys looked like fingers had pinched the landscape in places and thumbprinted it in others. A broad river moved northwest to southeast. A smaller river came in from west to east, curled back on itself in rippling serpentine that reminded him of the black snake they'd found at the museum. Farms were cut into rectangles that butted up against wild, dark forests. Roads were fine white hairs across it all, like parasitic worms in a dish. From this height, humans were invisible.
What do you feel? Bride asked.
Free? Trapped? Alive? Guilty? Powerful? Powerless? Ronan felt everything but the ley line. Hennessy sighed.
Bride said, saving the ley lines is about seeing the pattern. It's hard to see the pattern when you're in it, but humans do the same things again and again. They are not that complicated. In a pair, they are individuals, unique, unlike. If you have half a dozen, two or three will remind you of each other. By the time you have 100, 200, you see types repeated again and again. Place two types together, they react a certain way. Place them with a different type, they react a different but equally predictable way. Humans form into groups along the same lines again and again. They fracture into smaller groups along other predictable lines again and again. 150, Dunbar's number. That is how many connections humans can support before things begin to fall apart and remake. Again, again, humans dance as elegantly as clockwork stars move across the sky. But they do not see it, because they are the stars.
They were very far up. Thousands of meters, feet dangling, pressed together on the dreamt hoverboard, cheeks burning with cold, lungs burning with the thinness of the air. The wind moved them this way and that. They were only in danger of falling if they completely resisted the flow. They were not in a dream, but it felt like a dream. And for the first time, Ronan felt a little like he understood how Bride could say they were not two of him. Bride continued,
"The non-human world has patterns, too. Look at the veins of a leaf, your hand, a tree, gold through rock, a river headed to sea, lightning. And again, again. Not just in the visible, but also the invisible. In airflow, particles, sound waves, ley lines too, veining across this poor battered home of ours. Again, 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 everything predicts everything else. Everything affects everything else."
Ronan felt Hennessy shiver. He leaned his skull against her skull, and without pause or snark, she leaned back.
"It doesn't take much to disrupt the pattern. Look at that river there. Over the years, silt has built up along its banks, which slows it. And as it slows, it becomes less able to move the silt, so it slows further. So there is even more silt, and so it slows even more. As it slows, the river twists harder away from the obstacle, looking for the path of least resistance. Twist, slow, until the curves are so tight that it becomes just a bent lake here, and then a small pond there, and then finally the water is driven below ground. This, too, is what happens to the ley lines."
Ronan could almost imagine it. The glowing energy of the ley line glistening across the landscape below, pulsing beneath the mountains, seeping into the rivers. Everything had felt obvious and connected in his last dream when he was curled inside Illidoran, and some of that connectivity lingered.
Slowly the ley lines get shut down one by one by electricity and roads and trash and noise and noise and noise and noise. Bride sucked in a deep breath. Which is why we dreamers are forced to go from vein to vein as they collapse behind us.
So, a dreamer's just a parasite, Hennessy said. We're nothing without them.
Is your brain a parasite? Bride asked.
Yes, she said immediately.
Your lungs, your kidneys, your hands. Your heart pumps blood through your entire body. Take away the blood and things begin to fail. Does that make the brain lesser than the blood? The left hand a servant to the veins that power it? We need the ley line. The ley line needs us. The world needs us. Eventually, if we all die, and we are dying, some more quickly than others, so the rest will go. Our passing, a symptom of a bigger disease.
And if we fix the ley lines, Ronan asked, the disease goes away?
Bride didn't answer right away. He let the wind buffet him. That was the way to keep from being knocked off the board, to bend, not break. Then he said,
a healthy body can withstand illness, can live alongside it. A world full of lay energy doesn't support dreamers and dreams only along the lines any more than a healthy body is only vital directly along the veins. It is vital from head to toe. Brain and lungs, kidney and hands, fix the ley lines, and dreamers and dreams simply exist wherever they like.
A world where Matthew could just live. A world where Ronan could just dream. A world where every dream was clear and crisp and easy to navigate so there were never accidents or nightmares. He wanted it. It had been so long since he'd wanted something to happen instead of wanting something to not happen. He'd forgotten what it felt like. It was equal parts great and terrible. It burned.
Restoring the ley lines is a game of dominoes, Bride said. If we addressed each domino separately, we would never be done. Dominoes would be set back up as soon as we turned our backs, and we'd be stopped before we were anywhere close to done. But instead, we focus only on the dominoes that will knock over many others.
Cool metaphor, Ronan said. What are the dominoes?
You already know, Bride said dismissively. All the obstacles blocking lay energy. Human noise.
And what is knocking them over, Hennessy said. Please tell me it's blowing shit up.
Sometimes, Bride admitted. Often. Hennessy made a contented noise.
Do other people get hurt? Ronan asked. Bride hesitated for only a second.
Not if we are creating nuanced solutions instead of hammering our way through. We're dreamers. We can step lightly.
What's the first domino? Ronan asked.
That's not the right question, Bride said. Always ask, what do we do last? And then you work toward that. The man who thinks step by step sees only his feet. Eyes up. What do we want?
Save the ley lines.
Step back from that, Bride said. What's one step back from that?
Ronan thought. Save Illidoran's ley line.
One step back from that?
Ronan was once again curled in Illidoran, connected to everything. A thrill chilled him as he said, the dam.
Yes, Bride said, but there are steps between us and that still too. There's no point moving the dam without freeing up the tributaries first. Why throw the switch with no lamps plugged in?
First we have to remove obstacles from farther down the line and adjacent lines. Illidoran's line will be the first and the hardest, but it is a fine domino. It will knock over many others after for us. Hennessy, you're quiet.
A thin gray cloud passed between them and the world below. The patchwork fields disappeared and reappeared.
You don't bloody need me, she said.
Don't tell me what I need, Bride said.
I couldn't do anything back there. I couldn't dream a weapon because there was no one to hold my hand. Ronan Lynch here can do anything I could do, and lots I can't. Just cut me loose.
Bride didn't say, what about the lace?
because he rarely mentioned the lace out loud unless he had to. He was just quiet for a very long time, and then he said, "I won't drag you." But Ronan would. He snarled, "Get over yourself, princess."
"What?"
she demanded, shocked. "Just say you want to do something easier, if that's what you mean, but don't play the boo-hoo card. Oh, me. My whole family got shot. I'm not going to cope. Please beg me to stay and make me feel good." Hennessy twisted as much as she dared to stare at him.
"You're a real piece of work."
Ronan smiled meanly at her. Somehow he just jumped straight to nastiness, but it was too late to rein it back now. "I saved your life. You owe me."
"I saved yours. That's what we call even."
"You want to give Jordan a call and let her know you gave up then?" He couldn't stop. Acid kept pouring out of him. "You're setting a timer again. Life in 20-minute chunks of sleep denial, whatever. Sleep deprivation again? Hey, Jordan, they died for nothing. Can I crash with you? Thanks." Her expression didn't change, but he watched her swallow, the tattooed roses at her throat shimmering ever so slightly with the movement.
"And when I bring out all the lace and blow up the world," Bride said, "we won't let that happen."
"Ah, but you did, bro. Only reason why there wasn't more lace was 'cause there wasn't enough lay for it, was there? I actually got the lace out and got our boy here closer to dead at the same time. I multitasked like a mother."
She was going to leave them. Ronan could tell she was. He could see every bit of her was ready to give up. Could they do it without her?
Maybe. Probably. But somehow the idea of saving ley lines with just Bride was awful to imagine. Awful like a thunderstorm. Awful. Awful. Ronan couldn't think about it too hard because it made him feel like flinging himself from the hoverboard just to see what would happen. What was real? Falling? Dying? Flying? They were floating 1,000 feet above the ground. Real? In a dream, there would be no consequence. Ronan was just as frightened to feel this impulse in himself as he was by the idea of saving the ley lines with just Bride.
"Why do you even care?" Hennessy asked. "The truth, not more shithead talk."
He could feel the impulse to pour more acid, but he held it back. He watched his raven circle far below them, in and out of the clouds. His voice, when he spoke, was barely audible against the wind. "I don't know. I just do." It wasn't a very good answer, but it was the truth. Hennessy said,
"Fine. Whatever. But don't say I didn't tell you."
Ronan's heart was beating hard again. It was like the rush he got when the masks came out, when he knew they were going to dream. Only it was so much bigger than that. They were going to change the world. They were going to change their worlds. There was no going back. Was he doing this? He must be. What had he been made for, if not for this? Bride said,
"Then we begin where I left off."